League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. My name is Will Doctor alongside Charlie Epps. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Good to be back with you on a Saturday morning. Charlie,
what's going on, bro? How's the skier?
Oh. It was unbelievable. We don't have to get into it too much today, but, I mean, it snowed like crazy, and, just flying down some mountains, Charlie, trying not to break any bones.
Well, little vacation. Now you're back in the saddle, ready to go for the spring.
I'm dialed in for major season. We have a great event in the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week, which I'm really looking forward to get into with you today, considering all the unbelievable stories you have with the king himself.
The king. What a man.
Unbelievable. So, Charlie, this week, so much good energy, it's going to be amazing. We hear from veterans, that have all these great stories with Palmer, but you even hear the young guys now coming up who, a guy like Will Zalatoris, we're going to talk about, took the Arnold Palmer Scholarship at Wake Forest. It's really unbelievable the legacy that he left on this tour, even for the young guys that are just coming out now.
Yes, it's remarkable, but it's a Mickey Mantle story in baseball. You know, you got Johnny Unitas in football. Brady's going to be that icon. Yeah. But, in the world of golf, Arnold Palmer, not only in our country but worldwide. My first autograph as a young boy was from Arnold Palmer in Buenos Aires, Argentina, when he was playing in the World Cup with Sam Snead. And I've been following him ever since. So it's a special, special man, what he did, what he is, and in a very simple way. He wasn't a very complicated guy. He just liked to sit down and chat, go play golf. He loved playing golf.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure meeting him back in Argentina as a young boy, I mean, that's got to feel like yesterday, Charlie.
Wow. Yes. It does. And then I went full circle. I got his autograph in his office in La Trobe.
That's incredible. The home place of the king.
And I played with him.
Incredible. Listen, a lot to do today. Some more outlash with Phil Mickelson, but the Arnold Palmer Invitational largely masked that. So we'll get into that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
And welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Phone lines are open if you want in on the conversation. 1-800-224-2004. Okay, Charlie, great show ahead. Lots to get into regarding the Arnold Palmer Invitational. There's really nothing to update all of you on regarding Phil and the Saudi Golf Tour. That seems to be over. Charlie covered a lot of the recent news last week. We will discuss the 2021 PGA Tour social media Nielsen rating results, which Tiger Woods won after Phil early called himself for the win about 3 to 4 weeks ago. So Tiger had fun on social media bashing Phil. We'll get into that. That was fun to see this week. Charlie, last week we saw the winning score for Austrian and fellow Georgia Bulldog Sepp Straka at the Honda Classic come in at 10 under par. Now remember, when the year started in Hawaii and then we went into the rest of the West Coast swing, scoring records, Charlie, were being broken left and right. It was really incredible to see that kind of dial back last week at a place, you know, one of the toughest tests on tour in PGA National.
Yes, it is a very, very difficult golf course. It was designed by George Fazio and Tom Fazio when it, you know, started back in the 70s. And then Nicklaus came in and put his touches to it. But Florida golf in the spring is very difficult because of the wind. And the wind comes, you know, Florida is a peninsula. It comes from every different direction, and it changes so quickly. So the first day, there was record scoring. The second day, it kept getting a little harder, and 10 under was leading at the halfway pole. And what won it? 10 under.
10 under. 10 under.
The weekend was very difficult. They put the pins in more difficult places. The greens get harder. The players get a little more nervous. And I was really surprised for Berger's collapse. I can understand him not winning the tournament because that's golf. But he just got off to a nervous start and made a couple mistakes early. And as they turned towards home, the bear trap, so on and so forth, a guy that has no business winning the tournament wins the tournament.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then, you know, Sepp Straka, unbelievable player, started his career on the Canadian Tour, won in Kansas City on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2018, represented Austria at the 2020 Olympics. Something, you know, a very special moment for many golfers, being able to go represent their country over in Tokyo. And then finally, at 28 years old, gets his first PGA Tour win.
Stands up on the 72nd hole of the Honda and hits it 346.
And, you know, back to Berger, it was tough to watch. You know, four over through six, and he had a five-shot lead to start the day, Charlie. So four over through six didn't necessarily kick him out of the tournament. But you could tell that, you know, the game just wasn't quite there on Sunday.
And when you get off to a start like he did, it's kind of like in football, your opponent scores three touchdowns before the first quarter's over with. What happened? And now you're trying to play catch up, and it's a completely different mindset and a lesson well learned. There's a lot of great golfers that have suffered that type of loss, you know, starting with Greg Norman. Who's been in the paper lately about politics and golf, he also had that type of problem. So we move on.
Yeah, it was too bad because, you know, Daniel Berger lives down the street from PGA National, and on Saturday he was saying, you know, if he wins the tournament, he's going to parade in his boat down to the 18th hole of PGA National. Maybe a bit of an early call there, Charlie.
There was a couple early calls. Yeah. Phil called, you know, victory and
that's
and
right.
This, million-dollar grab that they had. Be that as it may, how do you think the public looks at that reward of money for the PGA golf pros? Do they understand it?
Well, no, they don't. They don't. They don't understand it because I actually didn't understand it through the majority of this year. It was from my understanding through the majority of this year, it was strictly based on social media.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out it has much more to do with internet searches.
Right.
It has much more to do with your name being mentioned in articles. It has much more to do with Nelson TV ratings. You know, forms of media that the standard average golf fan still pays attention to. I think what we realize, we're going to get into this a little bit more next segment, but what we realize with this is that social media is actually still a very small world as far as the world of golf is concerned. The average viewer is not watching on social media. They're watching on Sunday on TV or, you know, searching what's Phil Mickelson up to,
yeah.
What's Tiger Woods up to. So it very interesting result there.
And Phil says that PGA doesn't do anything for him, and he walks away with $6 million.
And to answer your question,
second place.
What does the general public think about it? You know, this is a way to expand.
There's not a tournament on tour that pays $6 million.
And there's not another professional sports league that's paying players to, for their popularity on the internet.
Yeah.
That's not happening. We'll get into more of that next segment. Charlie, one of the names that I was really looking forward to watching – this week was Jason Day, because, you know, after years of struggling, it really looked like he's put the work in with Chris Como, changing golf balls to the ball that Tiger's using now. But terrible news this week as he lost his mother, someone who's been by his side for such a long time.
Yes, Mrs. You know, she migrated from Australia. She did everything for her son to become the golfer that he is, and my hat's off to her, and she fought a hard battle. Cancer is a horrible, horrible disease, and after 5 years of really trying everything, she succumbed, and now Jason is going to play golf in her memory. You know, we all lose our loved ones, and it's horrible, but we got to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm sure there's a lot of people familiar with the Jason Day story. Lost his dad very early, and his mother sacrificed everything just to get him to an academy in Australia just so he could grow and become the golfer that he is. So we're looking forward to seeing Jason Day get back. Another thing that I missed out last week was hearing about our good friends over at Insperity, Charlie.
Insperity, they're really, you know, spring has sprung. And everybody's getting back to work. You know, we still have a lot of different things we have to handle in business. And small business drives our company, our country, excuse me. And, you know, during the recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above the challenges. And that's neat because challenges we must meet face on, but with experts. And Insperity has become an expert in human resources and in guiding and helping small business. So if you want to grow your business this year, you need some help, you need all the information about government regulations. HR is so important in today's world. I mean, we are challenged, but Insperity is a company that will put you on course to success. They have expanded their HR capabilities, and it's our pleasure to have them on our air, our sponsor, and they're beautiful people, and I can't say enough good things about them.
And when we come back, we're going to get into the leaderboard and talk about some of the great relationships that Arnold Palmer formulated on the PGA Tour over the years. Of course, the list is endless, but even the young guys like Will Zalatoris, Ricky Fowler, you know, two guys that are playing great this week have some very special memories with Arnold Palmer. We'll get into that. We'll get into a little bit more regarding the Player Impact Fund. There were a couple names left off of there that I was surprised. Olympic gold medalist Xander Schauffele was not in the top 10. That's interesting. We'll get into that. And a quick leaderboard update for you before a quick break. Victor Hovland leads the way. In first place at 9-under after a 69-66 performance in the first two rounds. Tyrrell Hatton and Rory McIlroy tied for second at 7-under. Billy Horschel in sixth after shooting 67-71. And a name we haven't heard in a while, Bo Hosler, Charlie, is sitting in T6.
He was leading Pebble Beach here a couple of weeks
ago. That's right.
He was a student of a good friend of mine, Jim Flick, and he was actually paired with Ankel at the U.S. Open up at Olympic, and I got to watch
him. Wow.
And he's a young kid, tall kid, and then he went on to Texas, and they had a chance to win the national championship, and his shoulder popped out of joint.
I remember that. He hit a putt out of a bunker.
Yeah, and he almost, but his career has not blossom as we thought it was going to be, so maybe now he's on track. Bo Hosler.
When we come back, more on the Arnold Palmer right after this. Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SportsMap Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Victor Hovland leading the way at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Tyrrell Hatton tied for second with Taylor Gooch and Rory McIlroy. Charlie, the 2021 PGA Tour PIP Player Impact Program leaderboard released. The top 10 of that list was released, which was a $40 million purse that was split up amongst the players. PGA Tour is so bad, isn't it? It's a terrible life, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Poor guys.
You know,
poor Phil. Phil came in second.
Poor Phil.
Phil's taking home $6 million of this.
Tiger needed some jet fuel. Had to do some jet fuel. But the PGA Tour is with the advent of competition from abroad, they've become more creative. They've let loose some funds. You know, where did they pull this $40 million out of the air? Where does that money come from? You know, a few years ago, it was all about charity.
Yeah.
Where we're $2 billion in and all the great volunteers. Not much is mentioned of that anymore. They think they're going to compete with the NFL. But just look at the difference of television revenue. I mean, New York gets $500 million in local TV rights. The PGA Tour didn't come close to that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, looking down the leaderboard, you know, Tiger and Phil, top two. Tiger, $8 million. Phil, $6 million. And, of course, SI reported that Phil had won about a month ago, while Phil, you know, had assumed the same thing. Ended up being untrue. Shocker, Phil early calling his success. But it goes down the list. Rory McIlroy, $3.5 million in third, then Jordan Spieth, then Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, and Bubba Watson. And, you know, like I said last segment, I'm glad I finally got a little more clarity on the metrics that the PGA Tour uses, because I was critical that the PGA Tour would use social media to simply evaluate popularity. Because as much as some people think that social media, you know, has this big influence over the PGA Tour, and there is a big community on social media, there's still a massive population of the world that doesn't take their golf through social media. So, Charlie, let me give you an example. There's guys that do a great job on the PGA Tour with their socials, promoting themselves, like Max Homa, like Ian Poulter, for example. But here's the issue. Our friend Paul at the pub, he is not on Twitter. He simply dials into golf on Sundays on the Golf Channel. So, you know, social media really is not the end-all, be-all metric to this. It's really just the simple evaluating the average golf fan who is watching golf on Sunday.
But it's part and parcel of the American way of life.
Yeah.
And it's growing leaps and bounds. And, you know, part of this whole action is streaming.
Yeah.
And you're streaming on your computer. You're not watching it over the airways.
Yeah.
So you understand that a lot more than I do. Don't get me wrong, Will. But I'm 77 years old. I'm still amazed on what I see on Facebook, on Instagram, you know,
absolutely.
Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. And Max Homa, a great player, has won, you know, multiple tour events. You know, but unless you put on a show every week and are around on Sundays at the majors, like a Dustin Johnson, like a Jordan Spieth, like a Brooks Koepka, you know, Tommy at the Tavern really has no idea who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Where
was Koepka's name on that list?
Koepka was, let me look back at this, Koepka was number 8 on the list. And so
he made the lineup because he was going to buy some people some beer.
Yep, that's right, some Michelob Ultra. You know, he's on every Michelob commercial there is. But, you know, Patrick Cantlay was an interesting one. You know, won the most times in 2021. And that is a fair argument. You know, you win 4 times, why are you not there? You know, he didn't have the smile.
He
didn't have the personality. He doesn't have the conversation that Michael Greller and Spieth have when the cameras get on Spieth. So, you know, I don't think Patrick Cantlay is going to change. You know, and he said that he's not worried about this impact fund. He's focused on the golf. Yeah. That's it. And you can respect that.
And Morikawa?
Morikawa was number 11. That was a surprising one as well. A couple other ones I was surprised about. Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, gold medalist, Charlie. You would think with that international exposure, he would be up there But there was something. I need to read more into it. I'll get back to you next week with this. There was a limit to the international exposure that could impact this, and that's why Hideki wasn't on there. You know, Hideki, the first Masters champion.
Yeah, but if he had been in Japan, it would, but in our country,
right,
you got no chance.
Right. And, of course, you know, Tiger took a little jab at Phil on social media. You know, not a bad thing that Tiger reminded Phil that the game still runs through Tiger Eldrick Woods. What do you think? Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Sorry, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, Tiger is Tiger, and he didn't play in a tour event.
Yeah.
You know, he got more publicity playing with his son Charlie. You know, so, but he did get a lot of publicity because of his accident. And he was threatened with life, with amputation. He had all sorts of stuff. And then he's opened up a lot more. Some of his press conferences have really been sharp and very informative. And he's got a smile going. So he's getting close to 50, you know.
And people love watching that great relationship he has going on with little Charlie. They love it.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, he's a father first.
Yeah.
You know, so my hat's off to Tiger.
And, Charlie, a quick update on Phil. Like I said, we're not going to go down the Saudi Golf League, you know, route today at all. It appears to be dead. It's not going to happen with all the young stars opting out. But quick update on Phil. As of yesterday, Phil Mickelson has not registered to compete in the Players' Championship.
Yeah, he's in hiding.
Yeah.
He's embarrassed. He, you know, an animal, you know, that ostrich sticks his head in the ground.
Yeah.
You know, So he'll be back. He'll bounce back. He's resilient. He's done this, not as bad as he's done this. So we still don't know if there's any suspensions coming. We don't know if, I'm sure his name is still on the docket for the Masters, but he's not going to play in a $20 million tournament. That doesn't make sense.
For someone who wants a lot of guaranteed money right now, it seems like the perfect place to go play right now.
Thank you.
And the bottom line is we'll find out if Phil, who won the Players back in 2007 by two strokes over Sergio Garcia. And remember, Sean O'Hare had a 54-hole lead through that event and made a triple on 17. It's a fun little nugget for you, Charlie.
Not the first.
Nope, not the last either. But it dropped him from second to seventh, costing him $700,000.
Seven.
That'll happen around that track.
Oh, you better believe it. You can go through the dollars real quick. You know,
but
as they say, the ripples tell the story.
That's right. At the bottom line is we're going to find out very soon whether Phil's taking time off or if he's suspended. That's what we're going to find out hopefully here pretty soon. But let's get into the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Charlie. I wanted to start with some of your great memories with Arnold. You know, I know you had quite a bit over the years. You met Arnold in ways that, you know, no one else had possibly seen him. Let's hear about that a little bit.
Well, you know, growing up in Argentina, we still got magazines and we still got information about the PGA Tour. They hosted the World Cup there in 1962, and I had the pleasure of my dad, mom took me down to the World Cup at the Jockey Club, and I got to see all the stars. I got Gary Player's autograph. I got Arnold Palmer's, Sam Snead, and of course Roberto De Vicenzo. So that's where my love for the game, my love for the seeing the pros with the fancy shoes and the sweaters.
Yeah.
And so when my mother went back to the United States, I had her get me a couple gloves, you know, because I wanted to have them in my back pocket like Arnold Palmer. But she brought me a half glove. Have you ever had, you know, with no finger, you know, and then you had some rubber bands right here. And you couldn't be cool with a half glove. You had to have Arnold Palmer's umbrella on it. And I was really upset with my mother.
Did she get you the winter gloves that you take off the finger so you can
ride? No.
These were golf gloves?
In the day, there were gloves that were, it almost looks like a racing glove, yeah. But the fingers are open, and it just protected the palm so you didn't get any calluses or blisters on your inside your hand. But it was hard to get on, it's hard to get off, you know, so.
And that's incredible because we're going to talk about the next segment, how over, 60 years later, Arnold's still having the same effect on PGA players today.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We'll do that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
And welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Golf doctor, what do you got for listeners today? Give them the knowledge.
The knowledge. You know, Sam Snead was one to argue about which is a harder sport, golf or baseball. And Arnold,
that's the fair comparison to the two hardest sports. I agree. Go ahead.
So Sam Snead will say, would tell Arnold, you're hitting a ball that's still, I've got to hit it 100 miles an hour, and it's curving and all that. He says, yeah, but you don't have to play your foul balls. So to avoid foul balls in golf, you've got control of the most important part of the game, ball position. No matter if you're putting or driving the golf ball, you have to put the ball in the same place to play the same shot. And with a tee shot, for example, the ball has been elevated. It's in the air. So in the air, you got to play the ball a little further forward. Okay? So you hit it more on the upswing. Hit it 8 miles. But when the ball is on the ground, now the lie dictates what you're going to do, but it's also you've got to have the know-how and position the ball accordingly to the shot that you want. If you want to hit a low draw, you got to put the ball closer to the right foot and closer to the middle of your stance so that you come from the inside. And then if you want to hit a fade, you're going to move the ball up and, you're going to move it somewhere between 3 inches back and forth. You know, that's the deal, is good ball position will lead to solid golf shots. Experiment and find out where your premium ball position is for you to hit a 7-iron on the green. So ball position, ball position, ball position.
One step further question for you, Charlie. It's the greatest ball strikers of the game, including yourself, when it came to changing trajectory, does the ball position move, or is it more, is there something else going on?
No, it's ball position and hand position. And when you want to hit the ball lower, you're going to have the shaft leaning towards the target, and that de-lofts the club. And then also, as you come into the golf ball, Your hands are controlling the face, and you got to de-loft the club. If you're going to hit a 7-iron and you want to knock it down and hit a little further, you've got to make it a 6-iron or a 5-iron. That's why these golf pros hit it so far. When they're hitting an 8-iron, 195 yards, it's ball position and position of the shaft at impact well ahead of the face.
Sounds like the key to the green jacket to me, Charlie.
That's it, right? That's there. It. You're going to win it this year?
Well, I have to. I got to win the USAM first.
That a boy. Yeah.
But, Charlie, speaking of USAM, speaking of team play, speaking of the United States, Zach Johnson's going to be the next Team USA Ryder Cup captain. How about that? You ran into Zach last week, didn't you?
He ran into me.
That's right.
I was in Florida.
That's right.
I was staying a couple miles from the tournament site. And we were up having coffee, me and Larry Dornish. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there's Zach Johnson looking down at me. Hey, Zach, how you doing? He said, what are you doing here, Charlie? I said, I'm here to celebrate your announcement that you're going to be the Ryder Cup captain. He said, shh, don't. Hey, Zach, everybody knows about it. Your congratulations. You're the man. You'll do the job. You're going to be like Paul Azinger. He's a bulldog. And he's a major winner, the Masters and
the Open Championship at St. Andrews, really the two most coveted major championships that a golfer could have.
And when he won the Masters, he never went for a par 5 and 2.
Never went for a par 5 and 2.
But he has that mentality. He put together a great team, and Dick Harmon always said that Zach Johnson's a special player, and come to find out now he's got, you know, 15 tour wins and 2 majors, and he's a Ryder Cup, and he's going to lead us to victory in Italy in 2023.
Yes. So, and that rainy day in 2000, that rainy week in 2007, Charlie, I'm sure you were on site, but it just seemed like that had Zach Johnson's name written all over it that week.
It was incredible. Yes, it was. You know, he and Mike Weir. They both won the Masters. You know, he won it with 2 over par.
Yeah.
Special days for special people.
Yeah, really incredible. I mean, Zach, one of the modern day journeymen of professional golf that turned star. You know, grew up in Iowa, worked at a golf club. Member gave him a great opportunity to start playing golf. Then he went to Drake University. You know, I'd be lying to you if I told you that Zach Johnson in college, you know, was a standout special player that everyone had on their radar. Yeah. No one knew who the guy was.
No, he was a standout mini tour player.
Yeah, that's right. You know, grinded on the mini tours. What was it, the Ben Hogan and Nike tour back then, Charlie?
Uh-huh.
Then he goes to the Korn Ferry Tour, gets his PGA Tour card, and on a stormy, rainy week in Augusta, Georgia, Zach Johnson pulls off a Cinderella story. But, no, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, probably the best demeanor on the PGA Tour, the premium example of how a golfer on the PGA Tour should handle themselves on and off the course. You know, it's – I think, you know, what, he's been on 4 Ryder Cup teams. He's been co-captain twice. So, you know, I think he's really going to do a good job.
You know, one of his best friends is Phil Mickelson.
Really?
And he's been, you know, on the fence. He said, no, Phil's my friend. I'm not going to comment on it right now. We got to get all the information out. He's a good man. You know, let's, you know, get through this in an orderly fashion.
Class act. You know, I'm sure he did some mediation at Medina in 16 when, you know, Tom and Phil can get along.
Mediation. Good job.
Now, let's get into the Arnold Palmer here. You know, let's start with, there's a large crop of great golfers who were absolutely destroyed by Bay Hill this on Thursday and Friday. Charlie, you had Sepp Straka, who won last week, shot 6 over for 2 days. Sahith Theegala, the young American Indian out of California, will go home early. Kevin Na, Kevin Kisner, adios. And Charlie, our favorite player in the whole wide world, Patrick Reed, is going to miss his 3rd straight cut.
How about that? I don't know what's going on there.
He
signed a contract to wear the PXG logo.
Yeah.
He left his teacher here, and he started. Who's he been working with?
Well, he's gone back and forth between. Is it Kevin Kirk who's here?
Kevin Kirk,
he's gone back and forth between him and Ledbetter for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's been a back and forth situation. I know that for a fact. But you know, yeah, 3 straight missed cuts. The driving distance. We don't have to get too much into Patrick Reed, but driving distance has gone down. You know, and. PXG has a lot of guys on staff that are going to the Saudi Tour. Jason Kokrak, Sung Kang, I think, is one of those names. But, you know, I'm not sure how much there's a correlation there. But anyways, let's begin with Victor Hovland, Charlie, who is 8 under in the lead through 36 holes. And, Charlie, this is a 24-year-old who has already won twice worldwide this season in Mayakoba back in November, then again at the Dubai Desert Classic over on the DP World Tour back in January. And this is the 3rd time in his career that he's held 36-hole lead. You have to think with the conditions that are going to be present this weekend, a guy that's from Europe, very good chance to close this out.
Well, he's proven. He's won. He's won all over the world. He won the U.S. Amateur, his pedigree, his collegiate player. I mean, the whole 9 yards. And he came out where his short game, his chipping and pitching wasn't very good. And he's worked very hard on that. So he is a kid that you got to reckon with.
You're exactly right. I think we're seeing kind of the same evolution with the short game, a young guy improving their short game like we saw with Patrick Cantlay a year ago.
He really drives the ball very well. He actually comes over just a little, but he's proven to me that he is a great golfer.
Let's get into Rory McIlroy, who's T2 at 7-under. Charlie, I think the first thing that comes out is I'm really starting to see the consistency with the putter from Rory that we saw back in 2012 when he was dominating the game. What are your thoughts? What have you seen from Rory this week?
Well, I was really impressed with the way he's handled the comments about what Mickelson's going through. He's on the board of trustees of the PGA Tour, the policy board. He's made a lot of sense, and he hasn't won yet this year, he did win one tournament over in Japan or something like that.
Yeah, but he won the CJ Cup over there, yes, in Vegas. Yes, sir.
In Vegas. So, but it's again yesterday watching him trying to finish the afternoon round at the TPC, and the afternoon rounds is so much harder. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the greens are crusty. He had a three putt. He hit a ball in the water. He walked off the green on 18 and threw his ball out of disgust into the water. So I don't like that attitude. You think about Nicklaus and Palmer. They always, when they had, everybody's watching them, their conduct was perfect. He's still a little immature on that side of the coin.
Still a little bit of a kid in him.
Yes.
And he just had a kid, we see over time, John Rahm had a child last year, and he said how it really reformed his attitude. We still see him lose it. This game will bring out the worst in everybody. We understand that, but no, great points there. Charlie, 40-mile-per-hour gusts this weekend are going to come into Orlando. And when I think about that, I think about guys like Tyrrell Hatton. I think about Rory. I think about guys like Mark Leishman, Australians, Adam Scott, who have competed a lot in the wind. When you look at those guys versus someone like a Billy Horschel, maybe doesn't have much experience, is that someone that you would target over the weekend?
Well, but Billy Horschel, he went to Florida. He knows. He's played a lot of golf in Florida. He played, for University of Florida. So he can handle the conditions. And the golf course is really not that long. He probably can't get to the par fives like Rory can, but he's not a bad pick.
No?
No. Uh-uh.
Sam Burns.
Sam, wow.
Another
good player.
He missed three straight cuts going into this event, and now he's back in the mix. That's another one. Charlie, we'll make our picks on the other side here. We'll be right back on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network,
powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Wind and weather is going to tremendously change over the course of the next 2 days at Bay Hill for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We saw it change dramatically yesterday. And a little nugget here from Justin Ray. The players played the back nine, Charlie, at Bay Hill, 48 under on Thursday. They played at 134 over on Friday.
Wow, that's weather, that's wind, and that's that 40-mile-an-hour wind that you say is coming in today is going to create havoc.
It's some sport we're talking about here, huh, Charlie?
Golf, the game of golf.
Absolutely incredible. So looking down the leaderboard, we'll make our picks for this week. Obviously in first, Victor Hovland, 69-66. Tyrrell Hatton in a tie for second with Taylor Gooch, Rory McIlroy, and Billy Horschel in fifth, right after that at 6-under. Charlie, what are you thinking this weekend?
Well, I mean, the top four have separated themselves from the, six down. If you're 3-under, can you get to 10 under on the weekend. Yeah. You know, that's with the way the weather's going to be. So you got to look in the, you know, in the top four, maybe to Herschel, who's 6 under. I'm going to give you the first pick.
Okay. I'm going to go I'm going with Tyrrell Hatton this weekend. Very, you know, kind of a shocking pick. I was thinking Rory, but I really think navigating with these 40-mile-per-hour winds, he's been one of the best players this week off the tee, has been consistent with the putting. I'm going to go with Tyrrell Hatton.
Well, I thought you'd go with Victor because I wanted Tyrrell Hatton. But I will go with Victor.
Okay.
No, I mean, he's got a 2-shot lead. Hatton's got to beat him by 3.
I think this thing turns in, by the time that we're watching tomorrow, I think this thing turns into a 3-way match play between Victor, Tyrrell, and Rory. I really do. I don't think, I have a hard time. Now, I know this is, you know, Taylor Gooch, Billy Horschel, both Florida guys that can navigate in the wind, but I really think we see those two names fall off after today.
Sam Burns.
That's
he's 3. I mean, he's 3 under, but he's coming off of 3 missed cuts. He's probably getting his game. He can really hit the ball.
Absolutely, and we have a lot of former champions from this event, kind of in the mix too. Rory McIlroy, of course. Martin Laird, lurking at T6, won this event a couple years ago. Mark Leishman, further down the leaderboard at 1 under. That's probably
too far.
Yeah, a little too far back. Charlie, listen, great show today. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed talking about Arnold Palmer and the Invitational this week.
Good to have you back in the seat.
Hey, Sean Mapes, good to have you behind the ones and twos, my man.
Thanks a lot for all your help.
We'll see you next week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. See you next Saturday.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.